However, a mother's bond is strong enough to cut through any ties of class, and I could not believe that Rose Nichols took the life of her firstborn child in order to spite her husband's family. That afternoon, Elsie overturned a milk can in the scullery, and we were forced to move the furniture to clear the mess before it curdled, so I missed hearing Mr. Holmes's return from what I assumed to be a further trip to Richmond. That evening, at the more respectable hour of 7, Lady Templeford called again, and I was on hand to usher her in. She removed a brown corded topcoat, and finding it too hot in the front parlour, unbuttoned a matching jacket, which I took from her and hung in the hall. Her manner had changed. The almost theatrical panic in her eyes had given way to a steely composure. She was determined to see Mr. Holmes and would accept no refusal. Deciding to forego the rigmarole of ascending, waiting a reply, then returning to the parlour, I sent Lady Templeford directly to the first floor, but I stayed on the stairs, watching and listening. This is what I heard. A creak of floorboards. Mr. Holmes pacing back and forth. A stern, high voice. How you could allow the press to be informed? Breach of confidence. This brazen woman paid her fancy man to take the child. Public knowledge. Drag my family name into the mud. Cannot stay at Mount Street a minute longer. This is what I saw. The polished toe caps of my lodger's shoes twisting past the gap in the door. The glint of his grey eyes. The swish of Lady Templeford's dress as she rose and turned, her buttoned boots matching the detective's pace. Her pale hand brushing at a mark on her blouse. Suddenly, I had an inkling of the truth. I hurried back downstairs as the door to Mr. Holmes's apartment opened. There was barely time to find what I was looking for. Lady Templeford was already on the top stair, about to descend. I went to the cloakstand and removed her jacket, hastily searching the pockets. I knew she would see me with my hand upon her personal belongings, and my reputation would be ruined, but was determined to prove my theory correct. Thank heaven, Mr. Holmes called to her from the landing at that moment.
Lady Templeford, I have decided to accede to your wishes and search the premises of this mountebank, if you truly believe him to be the mastermind of such a deception. I shall accompany you.
Clearly, the finger of guilt now pointed to Rose's former suitor. But I had found what I sought and knew the truth. It suggested one solution. I turned to speak, but Mr. Holmes gathered the coats from the stand and helped his client into them before springing to the front door. Then the pair were gone in their haste to reach the Haymarket premises of Rose Nichols' supposed lover, leaving me alone in the hall. With a sigh, I returned to my kitchen. The potatoes would not peel themselves, and Elsie could not manage alone. I heard the rest from the newspaper boy outside Baker Street Station. The evening papers were full of the story. The missing baby had been found, unharmed, on the premises of one Mr. Arthur Pilkington of the Haymarket, formerly of Clerkenwell. Neighbours heard the baby boy crying on the step of his lodging house. The former suitor of the Deptford Nightingale had been taken into custody at Bow Street, though he denied any knowledge of the infant. He was to be charged with kidnap. It was alleged that Rose remained in love with her former paramour. The police were hoping to discover whether the mother colluded in the abduction of her child. Mr. Sherlock Holmes was to be congratulated for the part he played in restoring the infant to its father, the Honourable Archibald Templeford. I pursed my lips as Mr. Holmes passed to his room that night, unable to congratulate him. He failed to notice the withheld compliment, but I managed to hold my peace. He had reminded me of my place often enough for 1 week. The case was called to mind just once more when Lady Templeford came again, this time at 10 in the morning. Her mood was one of jubilation. "I must speak with Mr. Holmes at once," she cried, as if announcing her intention to the street.
and pushed past me on her way upstairs as though I were a